Welcome to Carittles. This week, identifying power dynamics, part one. The questions this cast answers are, what are power dynamics? Why are power dynamics important to observe and understand? And what can you do once you do understand power dynamics?
There are two in-person trainings left between now and the end of the year where you can come see us as an individual or with a small group. One on each coast, equal opportunity. So if you would like to come see us in Silicon Valley, we'll be there the 5th, 6th, and 7th of December. We'll be in Tampa the 12th and 13th of December. Both of those events have a management course, a communication course, and the Palo Alto Silicon Valley event also has a hiring course. So if you'd like to come see us in person between now and the end of the year, you can sign up either in California or Florida at manager-tools.com/training.
There are power dynamics in every organization, in every group of people, in a family, in a volunteer group, in a group of people in the supermarket, in an aisle who don't even know each other. There is a hierarchy of people. And recognizing the nuances of those power dynamics is what allows us to navigate those situations. And if we understand them properly, then we can communicate with those people non-verbally, and we can avoid tricky situations. We can avoid walking into people or crashing into them verbally. We can communicate effectively, we can resolve conflict, and we can get more done. And if we miss the cues of power dynamics, then all the bad things happen. We don't communicate well. We don't get things done. There is more conflict. There's more friction. And we don't succeed in the way we want to. So whether you want them to be or not, they are always there. So we might as well understand them.
Absolutely. So what we are going to cover is pay attention to behavior. Observe what the most powerful people do. And use the power cues.
So pay attention to behavior is something we've said, for the last 15 years. And behavior gives you so many clues as to what's going on with someone. And normally we end up talking about empty disk when we talk about behavior, but we also talk about behavior when we're talking to managers, talking about feedback and what their people do. We also talk about behavior when we say the sum total of all of the behaviors in a company is the company culture. So behavior is really everything in a company, but you can see the relative power between any two people in their behavior. And you just have to watch the way two people behave towards one another, or in a group, the way more than one person behaves to another. All you have to do is watch them. And knowing who has the power is important, but not because you want it or you're going to abuse it, or, you know, it's not, I have to know who has the power so I can steal the crown, or I can schmooze the right people, or go manipulate someone. It's about understanding the way in which I think of it like a pinball. You know those pinball machines where you put the ball in at the top and there's all those little flapper things? Everything in the organization, the communication is always affected by all those little flapper things. And those are the power dynamics in the organization, and they're all affecting the flow. And you just have to know, if you can see what those little things are going to do, then you know where the ball's going to fall. And that helps you with all of the things that you're doing.
Yeah, you really have to pay attention to all of the levers to really know where that ball is going to drop. And sometimes that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you're playing pinball. I'm not an expert in pinball, but
no, the only way I know it is the song. So,
all right. Well, many professionals fail to see power dynamics in action, and they suffer for it. For example, they do not see the subtleties of power dynamics happening around them. They take everything at face value. They aren't really looking for those nuances. And then they wonder why other people are succeeding when they are just as smart as that person and they're not. Or they see the different levels of power, but often like criticize or dismiss it by saying, I'm not going to play that game. They see it just is politics. Oftentimes, I'm going to put that in air quotes. I'm not going to play that political game. And that's really not the case when it comes to power dynamics. And then when they say that they're not going to play the game, they then complain about when other people are actually succeeding when they're quote unquote playing the game. And it's not really a game, but you can't complain if you're not going to insert yourself in these behaviors, right? Or figuring out what is going on. So really stop wondering why they're succeeding and you're not, especially when we know you're equally as smart as those people that are willing to get in there and figure out what those power dynamics are. And then you can stop wondering why everyone's succeeding around you and you're not, right? So be equally as smart and willing to take in what's going on around you with all those behaviors that are at play when we're talking about power dynamics.
Or sometimes people miss cues. And I was reading a Reddit post the other day, and I know Reddit is not the source of the most intellectual people in the world necessarily, but this person had posted, "I don't understand why my boss is mad at me." And they'd posted their boss's text message, and it said that they had been late 3 times in 3 weeks to their shift. And in their post, they confirmed it. And all of the commenters said, "You were late 3 times in 3 weeks. You're lucky you haven't been fired." And so power dynamics is pretty subtle. And that is a pretty blatant cue that if you're late 3 times in 3 weeks for a job that's a shift job where you have to be on time because that it's an hourly paid job, then that's not a subtle cue. That's a hammer. It just made me think, you know, if people are missing things like that, then they're definitely missing subtle things like power dynamics. So people do miss it. And it's frustrating for them when they miss things like this, because they're like, what is going on? I don't understand why other people are succeeding and I'm not. What am I missing? And often it is this, and it's really subtle. And it's often also frustrating for the people around them. It's frustrating for their manager, for example, because their manager knows that they're capable of more, and yet they're missing something that is stopping them from serving the organization or being more fulfilled in their role. I had a manager when I was very early in my career who was, when I look back now, totally frustrated by my behavior because I was right and everybody else was wrong. And I didn't see that I was the person with the least experience and I had no power and I should have stopped talking because I didn't know anything and everybody else on the team knew more than I did. And I shouldn't have been arguing because I had the least amount of power. And my boss was absolutely frustrated because she said she knew I could have gone further if I would just stop talking because I wasn't right. So you're frustrated. The people around you are frustrated because everybody knows you can go further if you just watch the more subtle cues that are going on around you. And hopefully we're about to explain what those are.
All right, well, let's talk about power in organizations. So power in organizations does not only come from someone's role or title, right? It's not just defined by role or title. You can't just look at the organizational chart and see who has the most influence. There are definitely 3 types of power within organizations. They are role power, expertise power, and relationship power. Now, only role power is granted to someone from the organization via their role or title. So if you're looking at that org chart, the only one that you're going to be able to see who has the power is role power. And now we're going to get into defining each of these powers. So role power is the ability to get things done, granted by your organization, that comes in the form of the rights and responsibilities associated with your role. This is the power your boss has to dictate your work by virtue only of being your boss. You know, that one person that can say, "You do this now," and you have to do it because they're your boss. It's the same power that HR has to dictate the forms you need to complete in order to get paid by virtue of only being HR. I feel like HR has some other forms that you probably need to fill out in order to get paid. Always more forms. Now, that's only one type of power. And there are 2 others. However, just so you know, role power is the weakest of the three. Now, that might come to a surprise to many people. If you're not familiar with the three types of power, role power is the weakest because it's only given to you.
It's the most obvious. It's the one people think of in organizations because they know it exists. They can see it on that hierarchy or the org chart that's published. But it's surprisingly the weakest of the three.
Yeah, because even when you have it,
yeah,
sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. As all the managers will tell you, it's like, I can't get anything done around here. The next one is expertise power. So this is the influence you gain from the knowledge you have about subjects or other people. So expertise power is the ability to accomplish things because others trust your knowledge enough to come to you for help or guidance and then enact your recommendations. So this is the power that an experienced member of your team has when the team follows their guidance because they know that that person has been in the same situation many times before. This is the power I was lacking when I was right at the beginning of my career. I had none of this. I had no role power because I was a minion. I had no expertise power because I knew nothing. And I had none of the last of this power because I was fighting with everybody.
Yeah.
So the last one is relationship power.
Yeah. And relationship power is the one power that anyone can gain at any time. It's based on the relationship you have with another person, no matter what you know or what your title might be. Relationship power is the ability to persuade others to accomplish work for you based on trust. Now, we talk a lot about relationships and trust, so it's no surprise that this is one of the powers that we're talking about today. This is the power that you use when you ask a peer to help you with something that's not their job, or someone else uses when you put yourself out for them. So this is the power that anyone can have. And spoiler alert, it's the most important one. Build relationships, build trust.
This is the favor power. This is anytime you can ask someone for a favor and they will do it for you, that's relationship power. And you can have it with anybody at any time because all you have to do is have a relationship with them. You have to know their name and what they do and something about them that means that you can have a conversation with them. And then all of a sudden you start to have relationship power. So each of us has an amount of each of these powers. So each of us has some power from our role, a little or a lot. Each of us has some expertise power, a little or a lot. And each of us has relationship power with each person in the organization, little or a lot. And so, like a player character in a role-playing game, when we begin at a new workplace, we have this amount of each power. And every piece of work we do and every interaction we have increases or decreases our power. And our strengths affect our ability to influence the gameplay and our ability to reach the objectives set by the game and by ourselves. So if you imagine those little, you know, the computer games, you can tell I'm not a computer game person, but I've seen people play them on YouTube and they have those little graphs above their head with the different strengths.
Yeah.
And you can imagine those as role power, expertise power, and relationship power. And so every time you interact with someone, your relative powers and their relative powers interact to see who has the most power in any interaction.
Yeah, I really like this example because it's such a vivid picture in my brain.
Yeah, if only people actually went around with them above their heads, that would be really helpful. But it is a really good, I think, way to think of it because it's so vivid.
Yeah. And it would be very helpful to know if we're going to level up.
Yes.
We could see our own to know exactly like, oh, maybe I shouldn't argue with this person. I definitely don't have that role power, right? That would have been helpful early on.
Yes.
Economies of scale can be found when you have manager tools deliver training to a group of your professionals, either on site or with virtual training. We can host up to 30 people in a session. Even if you only have 20 people, it's still pretty great value. The cost per attendee with more customization and licensing benefits is well worth the investment. Send an email right now to Maggie on our team, her email address, maggie@manager-tools.com, and she'll send you tons more information to learn whether or not having manager tools come on site to your organization is the right decision for you.
All right. The next thing that we're going to talk about is observe what the most powerful people do. The most powerful people behave differently to others in the room. Unlike a computer game, the amount of each power others have is not displayed in that handy display over their heads or over our own. Role power is made visible through the organization chart, but since it's the least intense of the powers driving the energies in the organization, it is more important for us to be able to make expertise and relationship power visible too. So we really want to focus on either really knowing what we're doing, being that expert, or building those relationships, because at any point during your day, you can build relationships and, dare I say, level up, right?
And also we want to look out in meetings for other people's expertise and relationship power, because that's not on the organization chart. And we need to know how much anybody else has got in a meeting or whatever interaction we're having in order to see how that's going to affect where the pinball's going to fall. So we want to make that visible for ourselves. Unfortunately, it is, because it's in the interactions between people again. So you can just watch the people in a meeting or even communicating on email or instant messenger. You can actually see, if you know what you're looking for, which hopefully we're going to tell you in a second, you can see if you stand back and look at it as a behavioral observer, if you're on one of those nature programs, you say, this person is being very concise with their words when normally they're quite voluble. And you just step back from it, you can see that those powers playing themselves out.
All right. So now we are going to give some examples. Then we'll give you the important caveat when it comes to CEOs and others with a lot of role power. But that's going to be right at the end of all of our examples. Note, when we are using the phrase, quote unquote, more powerful throughout this podcast, we're not saying that that person is superior. It's not going to be interchangeable. When we say more powerful, we're saying that they have more role, expertise, or relationship power than the other person in that situation.
Yeah, it's not about who's better. It's about just the relative amounts of power. And you cannot help but have relative amounts of power. It's like that thing about we have strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't matter how much you try. 50% of the things you're able to do have to be weaknesses, because if there's 100% of the things you do, mathematically, 50% of them have to be strengths and 50% have to be weaknesses. In the same way, when two people interact, there's no equality of powers. I guess sometimes there might be exactly equal, but it's unlikely. That would be one of those mathematical rarities. No matter what we do, there's always an inequality. And all we're doing now is acknowledging that inequality. We're not saying that it's better or worse or someone is better for having more power. We're just saying, here's that inequality. And then we're going to talk about what to do about it. But we're not saying that somebody should be using that power in a bad way, to manipulate people or to make them do things that they shouldn't be doing.
All right. The first one is more powerful people answer questions. So the least powerful person asks the question, the more powerful person answers it. You can see how this relates to expertise power. The expert answers the question because they have the expertise. It also relates to relationship power. If the question is, where shall we go for lunch? The person with the most relationship power will probably decide.
And you can see this in meetings when, say, a finance person is in the room and somebody else has presented and there's a finance question comes up. And even though the finance person isn't presenting, someone will ask a finance question, everybody will look to the finance person. And at that moment, it's the finance person's expertise. They have all the power because they have that expertise to answer that question. And for that moment, they have all the power. And then it goes back to the person who's presenting. So power shifts during a meeting or whatever gathering you're having, or a call, or even a conversation between two people. The power shifts. It's not static. So when a finance person is answering a finance question, they have the power because they have the expertise. But say a marketing person is, or it doesn't matter, if somebody is making a presentation, for the time they're presenting, they have the power because they're standing at the front, they're standing up, they have control of the room, and so they have the power.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to notice. If you, say, with your example, have two finance people and one is consistently answering the finance questions, that should be a pretty good hint that they are going to have the expertise power out of those two people. So you would know in the future if you need information to go to them, right? So pay attention to who's answering the questions, what questions, and if they're consistently answering them. That can give you some good insight.
So more powerful people interrupt. So the most powerful people's time is seen as more valuable, and therefore they are allowed to interrupt and cut someone else off if the person isn't being clear or correct or succinct, or if the question is already clear. And they're also allowed to interrupt to ask clarifying questions because they're seen as having more knowledge through their role or expertise power, and less powerful people expect their questions to be dispositive. So in a group setting where normally interruptions are, when we say not allowed, we mean sort of counter to the group norms. So it makes people uncomfortable when other people interrupt, maybe in a group. So for instance, in your team, there might be an unspoken rule that people don't interrupt. But when somebody has, say the team manager is there, who has more power than everybody else, they might be allowed to interrupt when normally, when it's just your team there, that's not within the norm for that group. When, say, your boss's boss is there, maybe that person is allowed to make interruptions during a presentation, whereas normally your team and your manager would wait till the end to ask questions of a presentation. So you can tell that the person who is allowed to interrupt and nobody kind of frowns at them or tuts at them or shushes them or, you know, has a quiet word with them afterwards, that person has the most power. And it's not just a role thing. It can be expertise, because it can be that person is allowed to interrupt because they can say, no, you're wrong, or you're going on the wrong path, or they can confirm that that person is correct and you can skip to the next thing. So that it can be an expertise thing. It can also be a relationship thing. So it could be that that person confirms, oh, yes, that person, that thing you're saying, oh, I talked to Bill the other day and he said all of that is fine, so we can move on. The interruption can be based on any of the powers. It doesn't have to be role power, which I think most people would expect.
Yeah. And so pay attention to when someone interrupts, how do other people around them react? That's your insight. More powerful people walk into a room first and sit first. So the person with the most role power will be deferred to and allowed to enter the room and choose their own seat if the seating is not assigned, whether it's a meeting, conference, or a meal. If there is some milling around time or chit-chat before, kind of a gathering, before the event starts, others will generally not sit until the most powerful person sits down first. This, of course, depends on the size of the room and the group. In a large room with, say, 20 or more people, smaller groups will form. And then within those small groups, the most powerful person in that group will sit first. So you can kind of see this in your mind if you've been at a big conference before. Like, everyone kind of groups off. And then as people are getting settled, one person in the group's like, okay, yeah, let's go sit over here. Like, they kind of take charge. And that shows that they're the most powerful person in the group, because people are like, ooh, I don't know, should we sit in front? Should we sit in back? There's that, oh, but there's always one person that can make that decision for you and tends to bring everybody along with them.
This one makes me think of the Queen, because the Queen was always allowed to enter the dining room first, and then nobody was allowed to sit until she had, and then nobody was allowed to start eating until she had, and then when she had finished, everybody had finished. as long as she took to dine was as long as everybody took to dine. And then when she got up and left the table, that's when everybody got up and left the table. And those were the rules of, you know, high society. But they're also the rules of group norms. You know, even without thinking about it, if you go to dinner with a group of people that you don't know well, you will follow those protocols without really knowing it. You will allow the most powerful person in that group to choose where to sit, and they will choose from the menu first, and they will decide whether or not you're having appetizers, because if they have an appetizer, everybody else will. But if they don't, no one else will. If they choose wine, other people or alcohol, other people will feel free to. And if they don't, nobody will probably choose alcohol. If they have dessert and so on. It's something we do naturally and we don't notice it. And when you say it out loud like that, it sounds kind of weird. It's like, oh, I follow other people without noticing. But it's not. It's just how we exist with each other without getting into fisticuffs every day, which is a good way to exist without getting into fisticuffs.
And it also helps because if you don't know, especially at those work dinners, you're like, oh, what is the protocol? So you're going to take your cues from someone who has been there, who has that expertise or knows the group dynamic. You're going to sit back. I'm going to say a smart person will sit back and take their cues. Because you don't want to be the person who just raises their hand in the middle of dinner and be like, is it cool if we order appetizers? Or no, we've learned to help us help ourselves, right? By following what everybody else is doing.
So we've given you some things to look out for. We're going to continue next week with some more, but there's a interrupting and watching who walks into a room first, who sits first, who talks first on a Zoom meeting, who interrupts everybody and says, okay, we're starting this meeting now. Those things to look out for the next week, and then we'll give you some more next week. Thanks, Amanda.
Awesome. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.